Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Happy New Year, it's the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen, good to have you back, and it's 2012.
Yay!
The highest year on record, Jim. Mm. That's Jim Campbell, he's made it back.
Hello.
Pete Donaldson's here.
I used to be Pete Donaldson until I took an arrow to the knee.
And Luke Moore!
All right.
And of course my name is Marcus. Now, strange start, but it's a start nonetheless, and we shall crack on with the first opening question of 2012. If you could pick a New Year's resolution for a footballer, what would it be and who would you choose it for? Jim,
My footballer I would choose it for would be Carlos Tevez, right? And the resolution I would make for him is to read things before you sign them. If you don't like something, don't sign a sort of like legally binding contract, meaning you have to do it and can't just run away from it. It's imperative, Carlos.
I sort of forgot all about Carlos Tevez until then. It's a weird situation because he's been in the press so often over the last couple of years. That was the first time I thought about him in about a month.
Yeah, he's not been on the continent really, has he?
He's been
in South America for pretty much the last 3 months, hasn't he?
Maybe he's gone back to a sort of Amish goblin community.
Yeah, I thought for a very brief moment, half time between Sunderland and City, which we'll come on to obviously in a moment, that when Sergio Aguero was warming up, they said, "Well, you're never going to believe this," or something. They're going to bring on, and for a minute, I saw a little squat. I just did this, I was like, "No way!" Yeah. It's Aguero.
It's nice they have the option like that of like a sort of secret weapon. Yeah, they could have just been playing everyone for fools.
Yeah, what, like it was all just a kayfabe sort of act. Wow. Did you see their bench over the Christmas period? Like, all the players they could bring on. It was ridiculous. I know they lost a match and stuff, but, you know.
We'll talk about that in a moment. Now, Pete, what are you going to go for? Or who are you going to go for?
I'd make Joey Barton keep a database on things he's said and done in the past so that when it comes out that he is on Twitter going on about video technology, you know, a discipline and, you know, cameras aren't his friend because he does horrible things on and off them as well.
Yeah.
Today he was talking about how he got sent off because he was the worst actor on the pitch and stuff. But remember the Jovino thing at the start?
Not that long ago.
He's talking about the transfer request rumour, and he's sort of saying, "I've never walked away from anything in my life." 2006, he put in a transfer.
I bet
request.
He wish he walked away from that teenager outside McDonald's.
Well, yeah, at Man City. he did that at Man City because they offered him like £28,000 when, you know, he wasn't all that. And he wanted to be as well paid as Robbie Fowler. Mm. And yeah. Never mind. Yeah. Never mind, Robbie.
He probably meant in turn, like, taking his property stuff into account as well.
Yeah. I love it if he told a smoker who was flicking ash carelessly on the floor, "Use an ashtray." Hang on a minute, Barton. Right, Luke, what
I've
have you
got a few. Shall I just bang through them pretty quick?
Okay, but remember the best one is going to be the candidate for the points.
Arsene Wenger to get a new coat.
Yeah,
it's not really a resolution.
He couldn't even find the pocket on that one the other day.
No, I quite like him in that coat. You see him hairing across the pitch just before the start of the second half.
He got so annoyed with Theo Walcott at one point in the Fulham game, he couldn't find his pocket.
Yeah, it was really good. And somebody's done a beautiful GIF where they've added a guitar over the
brilliant.
Top of it. It's on the Football Ramble forum, thefootballramble.com. /forum.
I've also got teach managers how to celebrate properly, because with the exception of AVB, they're terrible at celebrating.
Oh, I quite like the Martin O'Neill
jump.
That's rubbish.
It's brilliant.
No,
it's
unbridled joy. In fact, it's quite similar to AVB's.
Ferguson's is terrible.
You're soundly beaten.
Ferguson's is...
Wenger is terrible.
Ferguson's is like a doddery old man who's just missed a bus.
Fair enough, he's an assistant, although he was a manager for a brief time. Brian Kidd. Do you remember that celebration? Steve Bruce in the last minute against Sheffield Wednesday a number of years ago. Just... on the pitch, like on his knees.
Absolutely, little David Pleat.
Yeah.
Well, if we're talking about celebrations, surely we can't discount the Roy Hodgson annoyed at everyone bang their head on the back of the dugout. Beautiful. He looks so annoyed.
And my last one is.
Oh no! Hang on, El Diego.
If he's not in the Premier League,
belly
choreographed bench celebrations would be a good thing. If sort of like the staff of the team actually did some as well as the players, they could like crowd surf over each other.
Yeah, that'd
be brilliant.
But I'm going to go for. I was going to actually say that the New Year's resolution should be the players should actually start defending properly, because some of the defending the Premier League is appalling.
Yeah, it has been.
But
I'll
probably go for Andre Villas-Boas to just buy some Strepsils.
He sounds like a Dalek, doesn't he?
I'm getting fed up of hearing him like Madge Bishop. For all you Natives fans out there,
he was never that bad.
Not
surely, he's got worse.
There are other throat sweets available.
Yeah, maybe we're not on the BBC. It's fine. Yeah.
Okay,
aren't we? No, it's a very, very unambitious. Resolution from his point of view there, isn't it?
Yes.
Get some stresses. Keep your job, maybe.
The way I'd like to articulate and sort of illustrate how bad defending's been in the Premier League this season is just by saying Steve Morrison's got 7 Premier League goals and they're only just past Christmas.
International striker you're talking about there.
He's slammed on all my weekend.
Now I'm going to go for I would like Demba Ba to start
Demba
studying
Ba, Demba Ba, Demba Ba, Demba Ba
for a Bachelor of Arts degree.
Yeah.
So you see what I mean?
Yeah, see what you've done there.
Demba Ba Ba Ons.
Very similar to Sammy Ami Obi Obi.
Yeah, I know. That inspired me. My own thought inspired another thought.
I'm going to draw a line to this, but it showed the Ami Obi Obi.
No.
Sammy Ami Obi
is better.
Okay, fine.
Either. I think the first points of the new year are going to go to Jimbo.
Yes!
Carlos Tevez.
Well done, Jimbo.
Yeah, well done. Now,
that's all I've got.
There were other points being dished out. In the Premier League, Fulham got 3 of them against Arsenal. Mm. What a finish to the game.
It was
England's number 9. Bobby Zamora getting the winner.
Bizan. It was the proverbial game of two halves, wasn't it? Arsenal started really, really well. They should have put it to bed, really. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about the sort of Jovinho penalty shout, but there's no way a ref seeing that. I mean, when you see all the replays and stuff, it's like, yeah, fair enough. But I don't think even Jovinho thought it was a penalty. He thought, oh, I just must have fallen over again. Jovinho in front of goal reminds me of the character Hugh Grant plays in front of women. You know, it's just sort of like
he's the little way scored.
It all looks very fancy, and there's like, oh, God, I've ruined it all. What gives me hope is, yes, Hugh Grant does always score it, and it does come good.
At the end of the game, Jovinho doesn't score.
Well, maybe at the end of the season he'll work it out. Okay. He'll learn something about himself. You know? He'll go on a journey.
If that was the case, then Jovinho would always score right in the last minute.
What's I'm saying?
You've got an hour and a half to get to the end of the film.
Indeed.
And then does it.
No, the ball would go in and then point at Jovinho. Because it's usually not. It's usually the girl realised that she loves Hugh Grant rather than Hugh Grant does anything. You know,
so the ball just hits him and goes in. Sort
or just hits him. Just deflects off him.
I was.
Do you think Stockdale to say I'm just a goalkeeper standing in front of the striker?
Stockdale was immense, wasn't he?
Stockdale was class. Sorry, Pete, you were about to say. Something.
I was at the Emirates for the Wolves match.
Ooh.
And yeah, Jovinho scored a decent goal there, as I recall.
But he gets them here and there. I mean, he could be such a good player if he just works on his finishing bit, because it's so wayward, you just never know what's going to happen. Mostly you do.
Gary Neville has some good analysis of the penalty incident. He said, everyone saw that the first time and thought, well, he's just fallen over there.
Yeah.
But it's only when you see it in slow motion, which obviously the referee hasn't got access to, that it's going to be.
Well, Jovinho didn't even really appeal.
Penalty shot to win a game, you're in trouble.
Yeah. How much better is it having Neville in there than you know who?
Yeah. Mm. Well, Arsenal were absolutely abject in the second half.
They just didn't get in the game. Fulham closed them down like raptors. It was.
Yeah.
I think they deserve more credit than Arsenal deserve criticism.
Well, Dembele and Ruiz were on one, you know.
Ruiz was fantastic. It almost looked like David Silva.
He's found his feet.
We were saying a little while ago that. He said the trouble he's had with Justin is he just doesn't have as much of the ball, and you could see when he had the ball it was magic with it.
Yeah, and Fry came on pretty well for Fulham. He looked quite sharp as well. Nice touches.
The one thing about Arsenal is that obviously Giroud got sent off, which was absolutely fine. It's a definite sending off.
Wenger was fine.
Although
Wenger
complained
well.
About it, I don't know why. He completely undermines his genuine gripes when he does that sort of thing. But the other thing I just wanted to say, if you look at the teams who've had players sent off in the Premier League this season, I think Bolton have had the most red cards. They all seem to be teams who don't really have that much of the ball. So you sort of understand that.
Yeah, that's right.
But Arsenal seem to have an awful lot of the ball, and they're right up there with
red cards. Second half, they didn't have a lot of the ball, did they?
Yeah, they didn't. They really didn't. The possession stats were 66% to Fulham at one point.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why they finished that. But
you don't have a problem with the sending off as an Arsenal.
No, I don't. I think there's a lot of Arsenal fans have had a problem with, but I think think what's not really been taken into account is it was a sort of cumulative thing, because that was his sort of third or fourth sort of silly little foul, and they add up, you know, when you've already been booked. You know, you're on thin ice.
You can't go through the back of people like that anyway.
Pete, is it outrageous to say David Stockdale, England's number one?
Well, no, you know, not the way that Hart's playing, but he is playing terrifically well. He's had a couple of very, very good results.
And he could do nothing about the goal.
Maybe we were saying Stockdale, England's number three. Who's the number two?
There's no reason why David
shouldn't be number two. It's just he's not been playing as much. I think Stockdale could have done slightly better for the goal. He made a dominant out of his six-yard box.
What a save, though, he made. Was it from Jovinho? Was it in the first half?
Jovinho was
three saves.
Yeah, it was a couple of point blankers.
He was very... very commanding of, you know, shots that could easily be spilled and stuff like that. He was just catching stuff, distributing it well. He just did all the basics really, really well.
He made that sort of triple save, and then there was a corner, and the corner just came out and claimed
it.
You could see how
just sucked it out.
The one thing that I'd never heard before at Arsenal at the Emirates was we've only got one song, and I've never heard that before. We've only got one song. Brilliant.
Alex Song was a rare sort of highlight for me in that game. But first half more dominant. So it's so important for Arsenal. It's kind of overlooked. I mean, Cameron didn't qualify for the African Nations, and that is such a godsend.
He was as dominant as I've seen a player play on a losing team for quite a while. Actually, I thought he was excellent. I thought the Arsenal fans away at Craven Cottage sound quite noisy as well. I mean,
most away fans do.
I suppose so. But I mean,
and generally as well, I do wonder if Sky put their microphones near the away fans a lot of time, because you can always hear the away fans. It doesn't matter what the game
I think
is.
It's the home fans are quite quiet. it really is. Okay. I think it's more of a case of that.
The weird thing with the Wolves game. Rosicky looked actually quite up for a football match.
Transfer window.
I was really surprised at how slow Arteta. I know Everton fans will always sort of say that, you know, he was losing his pace once he left. Once he left Everton, much like a, you know, a talismanic striker that's coming back to Arsenal as he left Arsenal.
Let's talk about Thierry Henry. You wrote a piece in the Ramble.
All over the Ramble. But I mean, you know, it's not the long-term solution, and there needs to be sort of an alternative to Robin van Persie, aside from Henri's two-month loan. I mean, in an ideal world, Wenger would sign another striker in this window, because Shamak looks like he's on the way out. Arshavin's just like a broken sort of
toy
robot. He's just not up for it.
Podolski says he's not going to join us. Well, not that it's his decision, but
that'd be a good signing, Podolski.
He said he's not interested.
He's also said he prefers to play as the main striker, and though he can play out on the left, that's because he does so for Germany very effectively, he wouldn't want to be sort of understudied to Van Persie or play out of position. So I see why that is, but I do just wonder who else will come in, because surely Shamak and Arshavin will be going in the summer, if not in January. But it's weird. It's not a good time to sign players in the January. January is not a good time to sign players.
If you haven't got any.
You can't.
It's always
you're not looking for a short-term stopgap, are you? If you're investing decent money in a player, you've got to be sort of looking to build. And
well, that's why the Henry thing's a bit of a sort of, you can't really lose. Even if he's terrible, he'll still pass on his experience, and it's not cost you anything.
And I mean, you know, on the subject of someone like Jovinho, as we were, surely it benefits him to have someone who's such an adept finisher going, no, you'd put it between the sticks.
But do you not think that Van Persie massively came into his own as soon as Henry left? So there might be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, but it wasn't as, you know, it wasn't as instantaneous as that. I think, you know, there's nothing to say Van Persie wouldn't have blossomed into the player he was anyway, because he's clearly got a lot of quality.
I remember him combining quite well, in fairness, actually.
Yeah. Let's move on to Chelsea. They've had a couple of funny results of late. They beat Wolves 2-1, and Frank Lampard scoring a winner in the last minute. Could have been sent off, though.
Should have been a red card for me. Studs up, off the ground.
On the ankle. Nasty.
I thought he sort of pulled out of it, though. I don't think he meant that. I don't think that matters, though, does it? Maybe not.
Lampard knew, and he said after the game he was lucky. Wolves have secured him Emmanuel Frempong on loan.
Good signing.
I mean,
he will be very reckless.
He's only 18, though.
Will he add to Arsenal sending off tallies at Wolves?
Him and Carl Henry in there, maybe.
God. The only thing worse than meeting them than a dark alley, we're meeting them than a well lit one.
That's right, yeah.
It can only be good for Frimpong, though, seriously. He was very unlucky to get that knee injury last season. And, you know,
it's something like Makeda to QPR thing.
I mean, Wolves are battlers as well, they really are. And that will suit his game, so we'll learn a lot there.
Chelsea. were beaten by Aston Villa. Yeah, they were beaten by Aston Villa over the festive period. Drogba getting his 150th goal for Chelsea, but more importantly, Stephen Ireland scored.
Yeah, he did, and he had that strange Twitter thing, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, he was pictured having a go on a shisha pipe with the showing off his fine torso and silver snakeskin trousers, was it?
Yeah, didn't it say something like shisha, alcohol, and Christmas?
Christmas songs, actually.
Right, even so. But Alex McLeish, like, he didn't really criticise him publicly. I thought he handled this really well. He said, you know, obviously that's not the sort of thing I want to see. I want to see him making headlines on the back pages again. We know he's got the ability, blah, blah, blah. Gave him a bit of a public motivational speech. And obviously it worked because he was excellent against Chelsea.
He's 25, Stephen Ireland.
That's probably his first, like, proper decent performance for Villa. Yeah. And it's a shame because he was, you know, he was the real driving force behind City, sort of the first season they had.
He was the player of the season.
He was excellent. And it's been such a shame that he's dropped off, and I really hope he can just sort of get back on his feet. And
But you do worry playing for McLeish.
Oh God, yeah.
he just seems to me, I don't know him, but he seems
just
to me,
wanted on the ground.
There's always talk of how I listened to this thing on the BBC World Service a while back about how football's miles behind other sports when it comes to sports psychology. Mm-hmm. Like top athletes in other sports wouldn't dream of going anywhere near a bit of competition without a sports psychologist, but a lot of footballers are way behind on
gay
that. Yeah, exactly. But Stephen Ireland seems to be someone, a classic example of who just benefit from someone getting his head sorted. Because,
yeah, right.
Like you said, the ability's there for all to see. You know?
Going back to Chelsea, they were booed off the pitch against Villa.
They've had it hard.
I was quite hoping, Jim, that because they asked Vish Boas about this, I was quite hoping he would just say, but I thought they were saying boo ass.
Yeah,
I thought they were saying boo ass.
Yeah, exactly.
The next interview cuts to Di Matteo. I was saying boo ass.
Is it not fair that they were booing? They only booed at the end, and Villa are a poor team, really.
Yeah, I mean, booing.
They've had a stinking season.
I think booing's a cretinous sort of reaction in a club in that situation. If you're being driven into the ground and you're getting nailed on for relegation, kind of. Maybe fair enough. I think booing's always a terrible reaction. But like, they're so inconsistent, aren't they, Chelsea? I mean, it's kind of happened to everybody over this period because there is just so much.
It's been crazy. Yeah,
which I mean, City lost as well. Man United lost to Blackburn
at home.
I mean, it's crazy stuff happens around this
Do you
time.
Think Cahill's a good signing for Chelsea.
Well, it remains to be seen. I think he's a bit overrated. I think that he's culpable for Bolton's poor form as much as anyone else. I don't see why he's getting he's getting spared by it. I mean, some of the errors he was making were pretty page one, really. Mm. But he'll either step up with good players around him or he'll get caught out. The thing is, him playing alongside John Terry, it's not the quickest there.
No.
But didn't everybody come up and say that he loves his pace? I was like, he's not that quick. I mean, surely there's stats that
he doesn't jump out as big. He's not.
I've seen him
quick.
Be beaten for pace a few times.
Robin David Luiz and you've got goals.
But while you're talking about Chelsea milestones, the 150th Drogba goal you said, one thing's worth pointing out, actually. I know his sort of best days are behind him, but John Terry captained Chelsea for the 400th time over
that.
You've got to take your hat off to that.
And now he's on the back of an Indian cigarette packet.
That was a celebratory thing for the 400th.
Do you think the message is if you smoke, you'll turn into John Terry, to just don't?
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? There's a cigarette packets in India, isn't there? With a
it's a blurred out image of him, isn't it?
Yeah,
it clearly him.
Definitely him.
And you can see his lion art covered in tar.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's not happy about it.
Well, I wouldn't be.
Would you not?
No.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm so angry about it. But it hasn't happened to me.
Just going back to the Chelsea Villa game briefly. You know, we talked about how Peter Cech. He doesn't really like one-on-one and stuff like that.
Yes.
For Villa's third goal, I actually thought he went in with his feet, when otherwise you might have seen keepers spread themselves a little bit more accurately than that. And I think he
got
quite culpable for that goal as well. So there's another example of that.
It's not the first time in the last
month,
even.
No.
Another example of Luke Moore kicking Peter Cech.
There's a lot of talk coming out of Chelsea from, like, a source and a pal and stuff like that. And the pundits were talking about it on Sky the other day as well, that there are sort of just divisions in the dressing room, and that Vish Boas has lost them. There's a whole thing with Nicolas Anelka.
Well, that was right, yeah. The Chelsea players were annoyed, or some of them certainly, that China Bell Nicolas Anelka was not allowed to attend the club's Christmas lunch.
That's Really petty.
He's signed for someone else.
Well, he's not signed for them yet. He's still here, isn't he? I think that is sort of just really misplaced disciplinarianism. Like, all you're going to do is put people's noses out.
Bring him along to the lunch.
Yeah.
I'll save you Brent.
No, but what's he going to try and recruit them all to go to China with him? Do you know what I mean? What's the worst that could happen?
You could read something into how all the players who celebrated with Vyas Boas were Portuguese, apart from Ashley Cole. But Ashley Cole came along a little bit
after. Terry came over as well.
Later on.
Well, they were Portuguese speaking.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But why take him to a Chinese restaurant? He's going to China.
Yeah, maybe that's where you want
to
go.
Get him used to it. This is Nicholas Anelka. Some of the players took him out to a Chinese restaurant in London. Yeah,
maybe they just went out and just left him there and ran off. Like, see you later.
Indeed. But before we talk about the Manchester side, we're going to mention Swansea. Mm. Good win away to Villa and a good home point against high-flying Tottenham. And they were brilliant. Even Redknapp said after the game. They do fantastically well.
They do play well. They keep the ball well. They use it properly, and they are having a good season. The thing is, they're not scoring incredible amounts of goals, but at the same time, they're not conceding that many either.
They're looking very solid at the back as well. They're not conceding many.
Yeah, big Ashley Williams dominating.
Absolutely, yeah.
And obviously the goalkeeper's been superb, hasn't
he? Well, he has. Yeah, that's made
their pace as well. Is really, I think, shocked a lot of people. So they're very, very quick side. They just break so quickly.
They use the ball a lot. They don't get anyone else to have the ball.
But you look at that defence, you sort of think, right, they're not going to do a Hull. Simply because they've just been so tight so far.
They've got their way of playing. Mm. And it's very admirable that they've come up from the Championship playing that way and they've stuck at it. And, you know, maybe... am I right in thinking, you know, Mowbray under West Brom, didn't he try and do that? And it just didn't quite work out. And they
Reading,
got relegated.
They stayed up the first season, they went down again
after
that. Yeah, so Burnley, under Coyle.
We talked about, more pointedly, how Swansea stick to that game plan. And it's almost... You don't want to compare it to Barcelona, because that's a bit silly. But one thing they have got in comparison to Barcelona, similarly, is that Barcelona never changed the way they play. So Barcelona won them down with 5 minutes left. They won't just start lumping it. Mm-hmm. And Swansea seem to have accepted that playing the way they play against the better teams, they may get beaten. They may get beaten quite severely as well on occasion. But they don't let it affect them. They carry on. They stick to their game plan for the other games. Mm. And that's why they've been so consistent.
Yeah, but they haven't really been beaten badly, have they? I can't think. Maybe forgive me if I'm wrong there, but one doesn't leap to mind.
Let's see Cardiff off next season.
Yeah, there you go. The Barcelona of the North, was it, according
Barcelona
to Sam
Northern
Haman.
Europe. That's what Sam Haman said. That's what I interviewed him.
Fantastic. Right, let's talk about the Manchester club, starting with Sunderland 1, Manchester City 0. Wonderful piece of commentary from Martin Tyler.
Check that Martin Tyler is still alive. I've not heard from him since then.
But glorious. I don't think I've got so excited about a piece of commentary for a while, actually. And it was one of those moments where you're watching the game, you think City are probably going to go, oh, Sunderland doing well. And when Sunderland broke forward, you forgot everything. If you weren't supporting City, you were a Sunderland fan. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
A lot of space.
Oh, yeah. Well, the
weird. Man City
players just stopped. There was a number of them who just didn't track back. But that moment where Sessegnon Young to Jake! I was celebrating.
It's a great contrast to City last season, who away from home would have just taken a draw there. Mm. They were really pushing for the win, weren't they? Really pushing it.
Well, yeah.
Got caught.
But it's about decisions, isn't it? Aguero might have just slipped whoever it was down on the left wing instead he cut inside and shot.
Yeah. Gee, was a mile offside as well. No one cares.
I don't think it was marginal.
It was clear. It was clearly offside on the replay.
I can't remember posting on Twitter, but a similar sort of commentary. I think it was in Swahili for some reason.
Oh, that was nice.
Where he's just shouting for ages.
Can I put it out there? Speaking of this commentary thing.
Go on.
Just purely as a co-commentator, I'd have Big Andy Gray back. As a co-commentator.
No way.
Come on. Oh. And I hate seeing that.
You'd have to listen to the bull.
I'll just put it out there.
I'm amazed to hear you say
I'm
that.
I'm saddened by that. 2012. You've changed.
It's the year of big ideas.
Hateful.
Fat ideas.
Are you being serious?
He's a good co-commentator, come on.
He's
funny.
Not, he's a grating, irritating man.
Not at all. Alright, move on.
You idiot. This will get broadcast, you know. I quite like Matt Letizia as a co-commentator. And that's not a dig.
Is this it? Is this why?
Have you seen him stepping up and you're not happy about it?
Can we have a Portsmouth player on it?
I've probably stated several times on this show that I rate Letizia as a pundit and I've only just started hearing him as a co-commentator.
Well, be happy with that.
Did you see... Ah, oh, beautiful bit of.
Can we get Thatcher back in charge as well?
on sort of Saturday, I think it was, and it was Paul Merson going, "Oh well, I think that when
Darren Bent goes from Aston Villa and goes wherever he's going to go, I think I should get Demba Ba in.
And everyone was like, well, why would you want to go from Newcastle United to Aston Villa?
He goes, bigger club.
Yeah, he started going, like, trophies and stuff.
And then he started going, and then as soon as he said it, you could see his eyes started rolling back in his head, going, oh, what have I done? I've had a sherry.
All joking aside, though, Villa are a much bigger club than Newcastle.
Let's have a fight about that, Joey, or shall we not? So a great win for Sunderland against Manchester City.
I thought that was great analysis of the City game.
We did the commentary. Oh,
Michael Cox is shitting himself now.
It was slips.
Yeah,
it was slips. City yeah. dropping point. Obviously, they drew away to West Brom. But somebody said, one of the pundits said, is that a way to play against City? Just put everyone behind the ball.
I've kind of hit them on the break. Not because it's horrible when you see teams do that to anyone.
We've talked about this before, and the problem with that tactic is if you can see the goal early on, what are you going to do then?
Exactly.
What are you going to do? You know, I don't necessarily blame teams for doing that sometimes. If you don't follow that to the letter and so disciplined that you suck all the joy out of the game, if you concede, you're in banging trouble.
Well, I think maybe we will see teams try and do that now because it has worked.
So, I was going to say, I mean, West Brom got a point, Sunderland got all three. Sunderland had a couple of chances as well.
If it's shown that, you know, a team will be affected by that, then teams will start doing it. This happened to Arsenal before. They couldn't deal with it, so other teams started doing it. Maybe we will see that happen to City, who knows?
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting.
And again, it'll be interesting to see how they come up against that, because we were talking a little while ago about them perhaps having a little wobble. You know, they've lost two games now in relatively quick succession. You know, who knows? It's all up there, isn't it?
Isn't it just? Manchester United, yeah, lost at home to Blackburn Rovers.
I'd be so confused. I know they've got players missing and stuff.
Well, I mean, it was a makeshift side, but still.
The way they lined up, Rafael in midfield, centre midfield, Carrick at centre back, Valencia at right back, all right, now I know he's played there for a while now, and Welbeck out, way out on the left. And the thing was with them, it's not as easy just to say, well, the personnel, blah, blah, they need players. They do need players. But the way they moved the ball so slowly against Blackburn, they didn't press them, they didn't make it hard for Blackburn. They didn't seem to make any or use any advantage of the fact that they're at home and that Old Trafford's quite intimidating. And Blackburn, you could just see them growing confidence. You could almost physically see them thinking, do you know what? There's nothing to be scared of here. And even when they went, and the reason you know that's the case, because they were two up, they went to two all, and normally you think there's only one winner now.
Yeah.
And Blackburn, they didn't care. Mm. They just pushed on, they got a win. Fair play to Steve Keane as well, by the way. He deserves credit. For all the stick he gets, he deserves credit for that. Because the players I saw for the first real time I saw, they're actually playing for him. And they went over to him, and everyone's been very, very sort of positive and supporting him in terms of playing stuff. Now, I know they want to play games. Grant Hanley went a bit far, and I'll quote,
go on,
all season our performances have been absolutely brilliant. I'm not giving you that one, Grant.
Yeah. To be fair to
Keane.
To be fair to Keane. No, I've got nothing.
But do you not think it's ridiculous? Let me put this out there, Jim, right? They beat United at Old Trafford, right? Mm. Then they go and play against Stoke, and they lose, okay, at home. They're probably a bit unlucky. Stoke are a good team. And the fans just booing him again. Yeah. They're just on his back again straight away. Yeah. I know it's more of a general thing about Venky's, blah, blah, but they say that, but it's manifesting itself as what is effectively a personality attack, well, character assassination on that man.
And it's translating onto the team as well, as we've said before. It's, you know, if you're playing in a football team and you're losing and you're hearing boos from the thousands of people watching it, you're not thinking, ah, it's all right, it's just for Steve.
No.
You
know, yeah. No.
It's going to affect them massively, isn't it? So, yeah, I mean, it's undone the good work that they did at Old Trafford. I mean, obviously, you can say, you know, a loss to Stoke kind of does that as well, but it just looks like a horrible downward spiral for Blackburn.
I feel sorry for Everton with Yukubo and that. It's just like they can't buy a goal at the moment.
No, exactly.
Oh dear.
the problem with Yukubo at Everton, I think, is that Moyes seems to be like quite a hard taskmaster.
Yeah.
I don't think Steve Keane is. It's the same thing with the Van der Vaart thing at Spurs. Redknapp doesn't make him do anything, so he loves playing there. Yukubo obviously doesn't like running.
Yeah. And as is his belly.
Keane doesn't make him run. Probably.
Everton are absolutely built on consistency. If you look at all the players throughout that squad, for the wages they can pay and sort of the kind of money they apparently have, they're punching way above their weight with some of those players. And just how players like Sylvain Distan, you know, just absolutely solid. And same thing said of Fulham as well, I think. Mm. And it's just credit to them. I mean, Yukubu just does not fit that, does he? Not fit that system at all.
But if he gets some 20 goals a season, I don't care.
Well, his second goal was well taken against United.
Mate, you know, I've seen Yukubu play a lot. You know, in terms of Premier League players, he's one of the players I've probably seen the most in the flesh. You know, and he's not what he used to be, but when he was at Portsmouth, certainly, he's brilliant in front of goal.
Yeah.
You know,
look at his penalties,
for example. You know, I know he's missed a couple, but he hasn't missed many. No. And if he gets a chance, he'll snaffle a chance away and he'll put it away. He did that for Everton when he first signed for them for ages.
Yeah. And with any part of his body as
well.
He's really kind of flexible.
I thought it was very odd at Old Trafford, considering it was Sir Alex's 70th.
Similar to when they opened the stand, it was almost a bit like some people on the pitch, some women on the pitch singing happy like birthday and stuff.
Schoolgirl choir or something weird like that.
But like right at the end of the game, you know, it was 2-2 and obviously 3-2. The crowd was silent. It was as if they were 3-0 up. And there was no urgency, nothing, and that is very unlike the Old Trafford
faithful. Worrying for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. But fortunately for them, Manchester City lost, of course, and they're right up there with them. But
do you sort of think that this season is like the end of the Premier League? It just seems like a really weird sort of year, where it's just kind of like, well, is this the last year? Is everything just everyone's got their school shirts on with like all writing all over it? Everyone's bringing toys in and stuff, and
everyone's bought into this Mayan thing.
I like that. Yeah, everyone's just got a bit loopy. Year.
Yeah,
but you're not saying, was it last season or the season before last when it just seemed like a team didn't want to win it?
Well, it's getting a bit like that.
I've got a feeling that City might fall a bit short.
I've got a feeling, and I think that will ruin them.
They look United so unstoppable at the start.
At home, they're very strong, formidable. And they played tonight, don't they, when we're recording, so
that's right.
They got on. But United have got a strength for them, and I think they will. And it'll be interesting to see what happens, definitely.
Yeah. We've got to mention that Peter Crouch got his 100th league goal at Ewood Park. Odd celebration.
I didn't see it.
He kind of held up an O with one with his thumb and forefinger, an O with his mouth kind of in a shape, and then the one
trying to say 100.
But I just don't get a t-shirt. Everyone else does.
Use your face.
At least he's bringing something new to the table.
All right, fair. Maybe I've been asked.
I would like to catch Peter Crouch asleep in a hammock and then spin him round in it. Because his limbs had come out of it and it looked really weird.
It's like a cartoon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like a cartoon when they're riding a snow hill.
Yeah. A snow hill.
Yeah, whatever.
It's a cartoon. You can do what you want, just draw it. QPR 1, Norwich 2. Joey Barton scored, then was sent off for QPR.
Good to see future England captain Grant Holt trying to stop him sending him off.
Yeah, he probably went, fuck
off. Future England captain. I know.
If you get him on that player.
I know you guys have sort of already stuck a boot in at, on Barton already, but in the interest of balance,
it was never a sending off.
Yeah, I thought it was harsh. He was getting kicked a bit.
He was. It's clearly being dished out to him.
It wasn't really clear what had actually happened.
They said it was a headbutt.
Yeah, but it wasn't a headbutt.
The ref
though,
saw it first and didn't do anything, did he?
Barton suggested that the referee and the linesman admitted it at half time. We didn't see it.
Yeah.
And I think the reputation's gone ahead there.
What Barton's alleging, and it certainly looks like this could be true, but I'm sure he will, he's saying that Johnson just kind of put his face up to his, then acted like Barton had nutted him.
Did you see Bradley Johnson at the darts that night?
Yeah,
the sign up at the World Darts Forum was saying Barton's breath stinks.
Yeah,
no, Barton, your breath stinks. It's proper. Loads of players just have a dig back at him now, don't they? They realise he's a pussycat.
I don't know if he's dyed his hair. He had like jet black hair. Did you notice?
He's looking young, isn't he?
I tweeted him
like a young Pete.
Young Pete. Yeah, fair enough. We mentioned Everton earlier there. We've got to mention them again because they've signed Landon Donovan on a 2-month loan deal. We're all happy about that, surely.
Yeah, we like Landy Cates.
Indeed.
I'd like to see him stay long term, actually.
Yeah, well, we're just signing him.
He's in the offing last season,
player,
wasn't it?
He's another player like the players we were talking about earlier, like Distan, Heiting, and these players that are just consistent.
And he annoys me a little bit that he won't leave LA Galaxy.
Mm. But do you think that's
Everton, Germany, didn't really
Everton,
get on that way.
Everton don't really have much money, though, do they?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
He's probably happy there.
But I think the problem with any of those signings that where they've had a full season over there, when are they going to get it's an extra half season for them to play if it's a permanent deal. If it's only a couple of months, that's fine. That's just basically a couple of matches, bit of training, keeping your arm in a little bit. But I just think another half season on top of that.
You can't use your arm, by the way.
And then you got problems, I think.
He played 13 games last time. I'm pretty sure
he got a player of the month.
Wow. Yeah, he did, which was incredible. And he said, it feels like coming home, feels like family and all that sort of stuff. It's like he's playing for two teams.
Yeah. Like Beckham at Milan.
And I'm all for it.
I think he's a likable character. I think he's a good player. I hope he gets on well. And Everton need him, so good luck to them both.
Yeah. Last Premier League fixture we'll talk about. Liverpool 3, Newcastle 1, Pete. Is Newcastle's push for fourth spot maybe?
Gerrard was one of the Rovers when he came on.
Yeah, he did.
I was really disappointed. Like second half, that we didn't manage to press them at all. Apart from the Denver Bar chance, which is wonderfully cleared off the line by Scarlett.
I tell you what, that Kabay pass to set up Bar was one of the passes of the season.
Yeah,
it was magnificent.
He always looks like he's going to score. Mm. I went up and I saw Newcastle versus West Brom, the old coloured and white, as Alan Hansen might call them. and a good time was had by all. But I just think we missed certain defensive characters.
Well, that's been the bedrock what's been built, hasn't it? As soon as they lose defensive personnel, it started to fall off.
Yeah.
The thing about the Liverpool game is one thing. I sort of half expect Liverpool to kick on a bit, because the good thing about them is they just don't concede. They don't concede goals. They've got the best defensive record in the league, I think.
But I think Mark, it was just like Ryan Till had an absolute stinker. I think he was left running.
Couldn't he? He hit the bar at one point, didn't he?
The first time.
He loved that.
Didn't he himself this time? Right? That was a bar stall, specifically.
I see. The day before we recorded this podcast, former Liverpool, Everton and Birmingham City player Gary Ablett died at the age of 46.
Quite
very popular player, of course.
Only player to win the FA Cup with Everton and Liverpool, I think.
I believe so.
I remember him from my childhood, sort of late 80s.
I remember him.
Him and Paulie Rideout.
Yeah, you love a bit of Everton when you were young, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Was it 95 or 96 they won the FA Cup, beating Manchester United? I think it was in the final.
Certainly in the 90s.
It's sad news, and condolences to his family.
Yeah, very young indeed. Right, let's move on to the Championship. Brighton, we've talked about a little bit this season. They've dropped all the way down to 13th, although they're only 4 points off the playoffs. They beat league leaders Southampton 3-0. Ricky Lambert sent off. Southampton dropping a lot of points recently.
They're having a wobble.
But they're still on top, just about.
I know this is going to be like, oh yeah, you're just saying this because you support Portsmouth, but genuinely.
It is that, though.
No, it isn't. Genuinely. Okay. Some good teams in that league. I think they might fall a bit short. West Ham have got bags of experience, and they've got a highly experienced manager.
They're grinding wins out as well. Absolutely. They're having a bit of a rough patch, but they're still getting the wins.
It's worth pointing out, when you say Brighton are down to 13th or whatever it is they are, very close. It's very close. I mean,
well, I did immediately after say 4 points off the playoff spots.
Yeah, well, Portsmouth are something like 18th, and they're only sort of 7 points off it as well. It's very close there.
Yeah, but then you are only saying that because you support Portsmouth.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the only reason I say anything.
Got him, Jimbo. Got him. Cardiff beat Reading 3-1. Big win for the Welsh side. They move into third, 2 points behind the top two. Reading still in fifth. I still think Reading might do that surge.
I felt sorry for Cardiff, because they knocked on the door of the Premier League for so long, and Swansea just trotted up.
That's right. Middlesbrough missed the chance to go top, losing 3-0 to Blackpool. Quite a surprise result there.
But they're for Blackpool. Lua.
So he did.
He slipped under the Ramble radar. Luala was back playing for Blackpool. Scoring goals for him as well.
Indeed, he is.
I did not realise that.
He's only 21 as well.
Oh, it's not Lemanu Luala.
Yeah, it is.
And he's 21.
I'm joking. That was a joke. But it is Lemanu Luala.
Football manager style regeneration.
We won't know his age. I think that's the point. Middlesbrough, they're fourth level on points with Cardiff. So 2 points separating the top four in the Championship. Ex Forest manager Steve McLaren returned to FC 20 by the looks of things in Holland, according to reports.
Does anyone else think that, like, Steve, that's the only part of your managerial legacy you can't ruin? Don't go back. What are you going to do? Go back to Middlesbrough and bomb out of the UEFA Cup?
Just imagine it at home. Honey, I've got some news.
Oh god, he's got the voice on.
This could only mean one thing.
Right, let's move quickly
he's doing
to league.
Sean Connery impression.
Quickly
watch your strobe waffle.
Quickly to League Two, in the sanctuary of. Now, over the festive period, there was a rather nasty injury in League Two that we have to mention in the match between Gillingham.
We don't have to mention it.
We do. In Gillingham and Crawley Town, there was a split scrotum.
Yeah, who was it?
Wow.
It was...
We're a split scrotum of a podcast, I think.
Oh, he's literally running his bollocks off, Richard.
Oh. It's horrendous. Didn't he have 5 stitches in his nuts?
Andy Hessenthaler, the Jules manager, said this. He said he's probably going to have 5 stitches in his testicles, believe it or not. It's ripped his testicles open. It's absolutely disgusting. But then he went on
like an unspooling tear.
He went on to say the
what
most...
What comes out?
Dragging it on the ground.
He went on to say the most sort of manager-style kind of comment. He went... It's a horrific injury. I'm not making that up. We've seen it in there.
Seen it in there. Surely out there.
For that card.
It's just unbelievable.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
He's literally dropped a bollock.
Oh.
Did I see Teddy Sheringham's son scored for Bournemouth?
I don't know.
Over Christmas?
Not sure. Can't
well, he did. He's definitely scored for somebody. If he plays for Bournemouth, he's scored for those guys.
Okay. He scored for
so well done them.
Yeah.
Well Teddy
done.
Sheringham's son. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's all about timing, isn't it?
As the man once said, to an even greater man. Now, let's move on to the SPL. Celtic are top in Scotland. They were well off the pace a few months ago, off Rangers' pace. But they're now 2 points clear after winning the Old Firm Derby 1-0 over the Christmas period.
Let's have some Craig Brown.
Hang on. We've got the big one to go first. It's the Edinburgh Derby. It was played this week, and the Gorgie boys of Heart of Midlothian beat Hibernian.
If you do the Gorgie boys, can you at least do it properly?
The magnificent Gorgie boys beat the Hibs. 3-1 at Easter Road. Hearts move
some cracking own goals in the SPL, weren't there?
Oh, yeah. There always is.
I like to just occasionally watch the SPL. And I watched it. I watched it ever so often, and I watched a bit of it today. I just saw a couple of own goals going, and thought, "Yep, still happening."
Thank you, Scotland.
Yeah. I like the post-match interview with Neil Lennon. He clearly just climbed up some stairs because the commentator went, "Congratulations!" Neil went, "Thanks."
Yeah,
it's really drawn out.
He's definitely had some media training, because after the Old Firm game, he was so subdued. And actually, he was quite, oh yeah, well, Rangers were unlucky there and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, flipping, eh? Yeah. Someone's invested in you.
Yeah. Bit of a mention for the fantastic Aberdeen win.
Well, I haven't finished with Hearts yet.
Oh, go on then, go on.
Yeah, they're up to fourth.
I'm chomping at the bit.
They're just 21 points off the top spot. So, it's not this season.
No.
Is what I'm saying.
Is it a transitional season for him?
Yet again.
How many points off the top?
21.
It's just 7 wins. Yeah. It's just 7 wins.
You never know, mate. Well, Celtic have done it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's always next year.
Yes, they're reeling them in. They're absolutely reeling Celtic in at the moment. Not even playing their players.
No.
Are they?
They're just pumping on pure adrenaline, aren't they? It's such a glorious run.
They're not eating food.
I have noticed that I love about Scottish football is, or Scottish managers really, is when they say fullbacks. Because it makes it sound like they sound their fullbacks are fools.
Fools, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, that's good.
Twatbacks.
I think Romanov was thinking about paying the Hearts players. He had a little look, saw the young guy, and go, well, I'm not going to pay you if you keep doing that.
They won the Edinburgh Derby,
I'm
man.
I'm not paying for that.
I think that's nine wins in a row in the Edinburgh Derby. Oh, not one, nine unbeaten in the Edinburgh Derby. So how about that? But let's move on to Aberdeen, who won away at Dundee United in spectacular fashion, with Icelandic midfielder Kari Arnason scoring a 35-yarder in off the bar.
That's
4 minutes from time.
Beauty.
In fact, would you say 40 yards?
It was a long way out.
Closer to that.
Yeah, we'll have it. We'll have that.
Let's stick our necks out.
He's going to enjoy January being an Icelander. Yeah. Icelandica? Icelander? No, wait a minute.
I'm happy. Being Icelandic, surely.
An Icelandic.
What would Craig Brown say about that winner?
Well, it was a magnificent strike.
The best goal you've seen this season, Craig?
No, Edmundo's against Manchester United.
Yeah.
Well, it was better than a nothing result.
what did Craig Brown say?
That's it.
What did Craig Brown say when Edmundo scored that goal?
Oh, look at that.
It's the best goal I've ever seen.
Oh, okay.
It's like bad improv night. Yeah. And what would happen if Craig Brown was head of a terrorist cell? I think it'd sound a little bit like this.
I love it, Craig Brown.
Oh,
come on.
Got right. The infidel.
Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. Forgive us. Right, let's go to France, where Paris Saint-Germain have acquired the services of Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah, excellent.
That is a game changer, that is.
I fully expect them to go on win the league now. I think they're a few points clear at the top. Mm-hmm. Ancelotti's experience being valuable.
Yeah, the players they're being linked with is, they've missed out on Beckham, haven't they? Clearly, I think they wanted him as to say, hello, we're a big player now. Mm. But Pastore is probably their only really, truly big name, but I imagine that will...
They've
change.
Got pots of money.
Mm. I think they're one of those clubs, because of the money, of course, who are now being linked whenever there's somebody who's unsettled.
By agents, just to make
Yeah,
money.
Of course, well, yeah.
And a big part of that, of course, as Jim just touched on, is the Pastore signing, because the Pastore could have gone anywhere.
He could have.
And he elected to go to PSG. And it does, in a way, show how much they are big players. The thing about the Beckham sort of situation. You say, oh yeah, they wanted to put sign Beckham and put themselves on the map. A team's going to still be doing that like 15 years time.
I hope so.
We've got Beckham, so we've been business now. He's 48.
Crawley Town will be doing that.
The French league history have always paid fairly low wages compared to everywhere else in Europe. So that's why, you know, these marquee sites. Yeah.
It's not working out for Malaga, is it, in Spain? I mean, I know it's difficult for them, but
but they're in a
They're in a two horse race, and they're behind them looking at the two horses' bums.
Exactly.
To say that about Malaga now, though, is to sort of kind of say that about City when their money first came in and stuff.
Yeah. Get off Malaga's back. Leave Malaga alone. What have they ever done to neck? Shitbag.
Oi, fuck them.
All right. Let's go to Switzerland then, where Sion have been deducted 36 points.
A punitive measure.
For fielding ineligible players in league fixtures. Well, they signed.
The Ramble have done that before.
The Ramble have not done that, Peter.
By which I mean rubbish ones.
Yeah. Give them to himself.
That's right. This was when Sion, they were told that they couldn't sign anybody. They had a transfer embargo.
And then they just did.
And
I don't know what the problem is.
We'll just go in plastic surgery to look like our existing players.
This is one of those ones where, like, FIFA are actually right.
Yeah, I find it confusing.
FIFA just sort of said to the Swiss FA, "Are you going to do anything about that? Because you can't do that."
Yeah.
And they was like, "Oh, we'll do it in a minute." And then they went, "Right, there's time's going on here.
We're not meeting you for any more lunches.
You already owe us a million in consultancy fee." That's the conversation there.
But they didn't. FIFA basically say, "Right, if you don't do anything, your national team's up the creek." Yeah. And they went, "All right, then 36 points." And then Sion are like, "Oh, FIFA blackmail."
Come on,
stop it.
You can't just do that, can you? You can't just ignore the rules and then complain about it.
No.
Are they that bothered about it?
If any Liverpool fans are listening, that is true.
But what would FIFA have banned them from? The World Cup, which is a while away.
Just kick him out of competition, I suppose.
Euros.
Yeah, Euros. Euros.
But wouldn't that come under UEFA?
There was talk Basel would be out of the Champions League as well. Yeah. And it would just be,
but that's UEFA again, doesn't it?
It's a bit sketchy because the laws of the game, whether you're playing in the Euros or they are the FIFA laws of the game. So it does there is a bit.
It's difficult, when FIFA want this sort of hands off, so we're not dealing with this racism, it's UEFA. It's fine.
Get yourself some t-shirts and sort it out.
Haven't Liverpool done well over Christmas?
That's enough.
We've done
morally.
Sweden. Ooh, Sweden. Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
You guys are the most sort of like neutral, chilled out.
We've just been Switzerland. Although that hasn't worked.
I think he's about to say Zlatan.
A massive distraction is needed. Zlatan Ibrahimovic autobiography. Apparently, sold over 500,000 copies already
in Sweden.
Are there even that many Swedish people?
I don't know, but it's been a real hit.
Is it people like standard issue, like Chairman Mao's Little Red Book?
Been published in Norway as well, of course, as well as Italy, but Norway's newer. So due to the massive interest, there are suggestions that a film could follow.
I'm not putting two and two together, but it's being sold in Norway, and Norway is the home of the Nobel Prize. Is that the first step?
There's not going to be an English translation of this, is there?
There might be now.
Well, I'm going to put it out there to the Zlatan's publishers. If you are listening, I don't speak Swedish, but if you send me the book, I will guess what it is and translate it for you.
Yeah, the punctuation alone
it'll give me some idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the co-author of the book said that there is incredible interest to film it. Zlatan is very interested in films, so I'm sure it'll happen.
Who would play him?
Zlatan.
He'd play himself.
Definitely.
It'd just be him reading it.
Who's going to play him as a kid?
Him again.
Yeah, I think so.
Just in a small suit.
Who's the fellow
who
played Gladiator?
His knees,
his shoes. In a onesie.
Still just doing kick-ups of oranges.
Yeah.
Incredible. Right, now we're going to go to South America. Brazil, specifically, where Adriano, the Corinthians forward.
And the emperor.
The emperor.
He's back on the show.
The chunky emperor. Have you seen him lately? Yeah. He has ballooned again.
And he's only about 29.
He's 29.
Yeah, 29.
I can't believe that. I thought he was about 34. He recently accused of accidentally shooting a woman.
Well, at least it was accidentally.
I mean, the woman who got shot is obviously the accuser. And it was in the early hours of Christmas Eve. He was with four ladies and his bodyguard on their way to his house.
It was a midnight mass. Gotta bring the peace.
Midnight massive. When the incident happened, and the woman was shot in the hand and had accused Adriano of shooting her accidentally, but changed her testimony, telling police that actually it was her who shot herself.
There was also talk from one one of the other women that she deliberately shot herself to like just make like money off the publicity off the back of Adriano accidentally shooting her in the hand.
Yeah.
What's wrong with her?
She's now having
come to this.
She's but she's now having reconstructive surgery.
Well, she will have. She shot herself in the hand.
In the end,
my great granddad was shot in the hand in the trenches and permanently has a claw hand after that.
That's not right.
Well, she don't want that.
No. Adrian wasn't involved.
You can't
again.
That.
Again, he wasn't. No,
he wouldn't have gone.
He's like the war horse. He's like war Adriano. Yeah, he used to ride him around the trenches.
And now it's time for going for gold.
Going for gold. Gold. It is time for going for gold. Hey, 2012 Blues Brothers. 2000. Right. First clue. Bang into it, lads. Come on, get your head on. I was born in 1973.
Ooh.
I was born in a little known place called Enugu.
Enugu.
Stop. Peter and Love.
No.
Stop. Tony Yeboah.
Hey, no.
Stop. Is that Eilinger Johnson?
No.
All right.
My first team was Enugu Rangers. My name is now Mohamed Yavuz.
Oh.
Tricky.
I won the African Cup of Nations in 1994.
Stop. Rigobert Song?
No.
Stop.
No, because he's still called Rigobert Song.
is it Daniel Amakachi?
No.
Good one, though.
Thanks.
Oh, I see what you're doing now.
Yeah.
He was busy almost winning the World Cup.
Yeah.
With his friend Emmanuel Amanike.
He's going to be my next guest. You're saving me trouble, thanks.
I have won the Oberliga Südwest, the Saarland Cup, the Chancellor Cup, and, yes, the Intertoto Cup.
Stop. Rashid Yakini?
No.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
I was voted number 12 of the greatest African footballers of the past 50 years.
Stop.
Uh-oh.
Abidi Pele.
No.
Stop. Finidi George.
No.
Oh, good one. I thought you had that.
I was name checked in the MIA track Paper Planes.
God.
All I want to do is...
Yeah, I know the one.
Very abstract clue.
Yeah.
I was one of Pele's FIFA 100s.
Stop. El
Hadji? No.
Yeah, I was thinking that. He's still called El Hadji, isn't he? Yeah.
I think it's El Hadji Albert Jew.
Sorry about that.
I've run out of clothes, lads.
But you win then.
I think, yeah, you've beaten
us. Who
was
it?
JJ Kotcher.
Danced around the whole bloody thing.
He has Turkish citizenship and he's got a new name, Mohamed Yavuz.
Idiot.
Man.
We named all the other top Nigerian players.
Yeah. Only 38. Seems older.
Sickening.
Seems older. Sickening.
Well done.
Moving on.
Well done.
Let's have an email.
Let's.
Thank you for your
email,
lady.
I've got an email, so I'm going to read it. It's very brief.
Okay.
Ramblers.
Hello.
Something I learnt on a recent stadium tour of White Hart Lane. Gazza used to take an air rifle to the ground on days off to take pop shots at pigeons. And when there weren't any, he'd shoot the golden cockerel atop the stand, which is now situated in the reception of the lane with dents all over it. From Raj in Leeds.
It's a good shot, then.
Yeah.
Did you see that picture?
Well, you don't know how many times he's shot the gun, do you?
Did you
presumably
see that?
Loads.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
He's no Adriano. Did you see the picture? Did you see the picture of Gazza over Christmas? I presume it was posted over Christmas with his top off. He's got it terrifically ripped. In a sort
horrible.
Of like, put your shirt back on, I feel a bit sick.
It's all sinews. There's no muscle there.
I genuinely thought that was Jody Marsh.
But there's no bulk there. It's just every sinew has muscle on it.
Don't have a go at him. He's been through the mill. Look at yourself.
Been to the gym.
Yeah. Look at yourself.
Look at them guns.
You
boom, boom.
Quite gunny.
Okay, let's have a profile, you lot. Right, who's going to be the first one of 2012? Well, it's one of the truly great foreign players to have plied his trade in the Premier League and considered to be Chelsea's greatest ever player. It's Gianfranco Zola.
Aye.
You went all John Motson.
Oh. I thought you were going to say Nigel Spackman.
It's Eddie Newton. It's not Eddie Newton.
It's Gianfranco Zola.
Gianfranco Zola, the little magician.
Yeah.
Hugely popular wherever he's gone, especially at his beloved Chelsea. Born on the 5th of July 1966.
1 year, no more, no less, before the Summer of Love.
That
which would have been in full swing in July.
Yeah.
At some point in this profile, somebody going to say, too small to play football.
Yeah.
Still too small to play football.
Factually incorrect.
He's about 5'6". When you put that in perspective, exactly the same height as my mother, which is just strange.
Maybe he could play the childhood Zlatan.
Yeah, he could. Excellent.
I like that. he is from Sardinia. A lot of the Sardinians are quite small.
Yeah, they're notably small, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So hence he got the name The Little Magician. At the age of 18, he signed his first professional contract with local team New Orese. 18 years old.
Quite. I hope he had someone look over it as well.
I think yeah. so. Over his shoulder.
Yeah. Short of him when he was 18.
But probably about the same, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, maybe.
Thinner.
Yeah.
Thinner. He's not particularly big now, is he?
No.
I know what you're saying.
I'm not sure these are the hard facts we need to be looking at.
Jim Ragazzola, ladies and gentlemen.
Is short, was once even shorter. Welcome.
Possibly thinner.
What's a fetus? Yeah. You heard it here first.
Yeah. He played there for a few years in the lower leagues in Italy. Moved up to Serie C in 1987, playing for side Torres. He was playing more regularly now, and his quality wasn't overlooked because he was catapulted, not literally, up the divisions.
Could have been.
To Serie A when Napoli signed him in 1989. And they were a decent side then.
They had a pretty significant player at the time.
Correa.
Yeah,
Correa. I love Correa.
Decent.
Underrated Correa.
Yeah, but you're probably referring to Daniel Fonseca.
Is it fair to say that when he slotted in next to Fonseca, it was almost like he was the player or one of the players that helped them sort of get over? Well, maybe they haven't ever really got
What name were you about to say?
Diego Maradona.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he played for them.
No, but he was one of the players who sort of helped them get over.
He did. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Yeah, playing alongside the likes of Correa and Maradona. For a young lad who's come up from effectively the third division into that team.
If you are going to watch your team and up front you've got Maradona, Correa with Zola just behind, you take that all day.
And they did. They loved it.
Yeah, exactly. They permanently look back.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Coming from those lower leagues all the way up.
Look, DJ Campbell did it. It's fine.
Yeah, he did.
Well, not even arguably. But Zola won Serie A at Napoli and but more importantly to the man's career, would learn a lot playing with Maradona. Of course, apparently the two spent hours on the training ground practicing free kicks together, which is a lovely image.
Zola feels like a link between that last generation of Maradona's generation and sort of the one that we grew up with.
Yeah,
you know? It's nice that such a sort of iconic player was such a young player alongside such another iconic player.
Imagine how much you'd have learned. I mean, you can't think of a better teacher for that sort of player.
That's right. Apparently the two would have penalty competitions with their weaker feet as
well. They're going all night.
Can you imagine everyone volunteering? I'll go and goal for that.
Yeah.
Just to see the two little men having pop shots at you. Zola also remembers an occasion when Napoli were playing Pisa in the Italian Cup, and he said that Maradona gave him the number 10 jersey and took the number 9, and Zola said, for me it was the most beautiful thing I could ever imagine, you know, Maradona letting me play in the number 10 shirt. Imagine my confidence. And there is talk of, I don't know how true this is, but they're kind of an understudy kind of feel to Maradona and Zola, you know. I mean, Maradona was probably, you know,
Maradona never forgets his lines.
Very good. But Maradona did go off the rails a little bit, as we know, at Napoli and so on and so forth. But Zola, as you said, Luke, you know, he kept going, and they loved him. They really did.
Well, it was stupid they let him go to Parma.
Well, I think it was because of. I think it was the funds and all. The team needed to raise some money. He went to Parma, where he teamed up with Faustino Asprilla.
Groline was there as well, if I remember rightly.
Oh, was that then, was
at
it?
At one point they were all there together, I think.
When they had the top that said Parmalat?
Yeah, around that sort of
thing. Because Juve had one like that, didn't they? They had Danone. Aren't they all yogurt manufacturers?
That was later.
Yeah, Muller. I like this. Apparently Zola took Asprilla fishing once, but only once, as he said. I did take him fishing once. Only once, because of how he behaved.
Put the gun down.
He broke all my fishing rods and made a big mess in my boat.
Broke his fishing rods.
When he says he made a big mess in my boat, goodness knows what leaps to mind.
I wish I was there.
He caught the fish with his hands and pulled them apart. Yeah. I see it every time I close my eyes.
It's just different class, isn't it?
A mess in my boat.
Oh, lovely banter.
Shut up. I think I'm right in saying that. Shut up. I think I'm right in saying Zola previously held the free kick scoring record in Serie A, which I'd imagine that is no mean feat.
No,
league has had some free kick takers.
They love a dead ball.
They do love a dead ball. He did win the UEFA. He did win the UEFA Cup with Parma in 1995.
They beat Arsenal, didn't they?
Yeah. They lost to Arsenal in the Cup.
No, of course,
Cup.
Yeah, no.
In 94.
Oh, okay. Yes, because they were the holders in the final. When
that's
Arsenal
right. Alan
and
Smith.
Arsenal were the holders in the final.
That's right.
A bit then.
Zola did play at the World Cup. I should have said, actually, in 91, playing for Napoli, he got his first cap for Italy. In 94 he was called up to the World Cup squad in America. Only briefly he came on against Argentina in the second round and was sent off quite harshly, I think. Might be the only sending off in his career.
Being a ridiculous sending off, in fact.
Yeah. I think the little man dropped to his knees as well when he was sent off, in typical Italian fashion, you know. Back in Serie A, though, he was making his name really as a playmaker, a goal scorer, all those kind of things that we now know him. Carlo Ancelotti, manager of Parma at the time, didn't really see him fitting into his system, so he was sold to Chelsea in 96 for £4.5 million. He did play at Euro 96 that summer. The Italians went out in the first round. He missed a penalty in a 0-0 draw with Germany, which proved to be crucial. He had a funny international career, Zola.
A lot of Italian players did. When they were almost sort of like they disappeared off the international radar when they left Italy, basically. Italian, I don't know if it's still the same now, but they're traditionally quite myopic when it comes to sort of picking international players.
But also, though, there were so many players at the time, the likes of Baggio and so on and so forth.
Of course.
He did score a famous goal for Italy against England in a 1-0 win in the World Cup 98 qualifier.
Yeah.
Do you know what the amazing thing about that was? He scored, and it was such a huge game that even when he came back to the Premier League, he was still very popular. Because that's the kind of classic things that football fans would turn against him.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I think his last game for Italy might have been the 0-0 with England in Rome.
In Rome, yeah. That was the return fixture of that game. Was the free kick, the first one, yeah.
That's right. It wasn't a free kick, it was from open play. Yeah. But yeah, now, Chelsea, we've got there. An immediate impact. Mm. I think we can agree.
What year did he sign?
Was in 96. And he became one of the players who really helped the Premier League reach the kind of levels it is at today. Won the Football Writers Player of the Year in his first season in the Prem. That is different class, isn't it? And he was an absolute joy to watch week in, week out, scoring fantastic goals. He said the defences in England back then were not as tight as they were in Italy, which gave him more room to weave his magic. One such brilliant moment was against West Ham, where he twisted Julian Dix into all sorts of shapes. Do you remember that? Dix was obviously
a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, well Dix
he'll smash your fishing rod.
When Julian Dix finally untangles himself, he's going to go up.
Do you remember that one? I think he actually muscled Dix off the ball. Dix was a real hard man, and people were calling for him for England caps. Yeah. Zola made such a mug out of him. And the goal I particularly remember from Zola was against Manchester United, where he ran down the right side, put Dennis Irwin on his arse, made Pallister look really silly, like an old man, and just hit the ball past Schmeichel, who just stood there and was like, what?
Didn't even seem to notice it. It was like Schmeichel was standing there looking at his defenders being pulled around going, who do you think you are? Oh my God.
Yeah. The formative years of the Premier League was dominated by players like that, like Kinkladze, like Giannino, tiny little jinky players. Yeah. But Zola,
Jose
was
Dominguez,
just he was just the king of the jinky jinkster.
Speaking, I mean, you touched on it a little bit there, and you touched on it a bit earlier as well. I actually had a job in my second year at uni.
Oh, well done.
And working for. Some of us haven't had a job since, have they? The job was actually working as a runner for Chelsea TV.
Oh, that's how I remember you were there.
And it was when Zola was there. And talking about his strength and stuff. What I used to do in the morning and sort of around lunchtime-ish when there was a home game, I used to go around just cable bashing, helping out. And you spend quite a lot of time in the stadium itself.
Right.
And once or twice, Zola was there practicing free kicks. First of all, one thing I want to say, the one word that immediately springs to mind is thighs.
Yeah.
The thighs on the man.
That's true.
Were a joy to be. His thighs should be in this Hall of Fame on their own. Right. Secondly, I know it's ridiculous because he's a world-class footballer, but I remember seeing him curling the ball into sort of the top corner or hitting the bar or whatever. He was curling the ball harder, much harder, than I could ever absolutely smash it as hard as I could.
On the volley.
Yeah, yeah. He was curling it.
Well, there was that one glorious free kick. I mean, bastard for a free kick. Scored so many for Chelsea alone. And it was the one at Stamford Bridge, I forget who the opposition were, and it was, facing the goal to the left of the goal. And it was keeper side. And he curled it right over. Beautiful. I think it went in off the post, top corner. Mm. Absolutely delicious.
It's when players can do that with their instep rather than the outside of their foot that, are they really powerful footballers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, listen, to sum up, in the 2001-2002 season, Gianfranco
I had
Zola
a job.
Definitely had the biggest stars at Chelsea Football Club. And let's not forget Desailly, because he was there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But yeah, Zola, I think another thing that he was such a likable guy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And
played with a smile on his face.
On his face. He's very genuine, quite shy as well off the field, I think.
But he was strong as an ox. You talk about that Julian Dixit incident, he's almost like a bit of Messi about him. Diminutive, but a big
powerful
core strength.
And well built as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
To scale.
Yeah.
Scale.
Do you remember the back-heeled sort of flick volley against Norwich from the corner?
Probably his best goal.
Do you think?
In the FA Cup.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Ranieri said something really odd about that.
Delish.
Didn't he say something like he is a magician, so and magicians have to try things?
Well, we'll end with
that. Really know what you mean by that?
We'll end with that quote. But he scored the goal for Chelsea against Stuttgart in the Cup Winners' Cup when he came on, and it was 0-0 at the time. He had a bit of a groin strain, so he didn't start the game. Came on, and I think it was his first touch or second touch or something like that. Less than a minute, anyway. The ball was knocked over the top. Half volley, top corner.
Pop bang, lovely.
Cup's theirs.
Yeah.
And he won the FA Cup twice with Chelsea as well, the League Cup, Super Cup as well. And this team was the sort of the precursor to the Abramovich era, really, in the Mourinho's.
This is when they were really sort of a kind of vibrant attacking force.
Well, that's right, yeah. Watch. I mean, we all know what Ken Bates is, you know. So for him to say this about Zola, he's been a joy to watch and a great influence both on and off the field. We owe him a hell of a lot of thanks.
That's true.
From Ken Bates.
He was the best ever player.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just, you know what Ken Bates
Ken
is like.
Ken Bates? Who conducted this poll? Yeah,
Ken Bates.
But in 2003, when he left Chelsea,
Smurf prick.
He was voted the club's greatest ever player, and no one's worn. I think I'm right. So no one's worn the number 25 jersey, which was his number at Chelsea since he's left. And he went back to his homeland to fulfil his promise of finishing his career at his hometown club, Cagliari.
He's loved for that as well.
I bet he is. And I think he gained promotion from Serie B to Serie A.
Do you remember when that happened? That was just before Abramovich took over.
Yeah,
and Abramovich. The first thing he tried to do was buy him back.
Yeah.
And there was a rumour he tried to, obviously this must be rubbish, but apparently he tried to buy Cagliari just to sort of just give him back.
Yeah.
The city.
Yeah.
He retired from professional football in 2005. He later came back to England, of course, to manage West Ham, which started reasonably well, but then ended up, unfortunately for Zola, being sacked. But it's a player as we know him best, and he was inducted into the English Hall of Fame in 2006, awarded an honorary OBE in 2004, which is one hell of an achievement.
I can remember when he was managing West Ham, I can remember one of the players saying that, you know, he's still the best player in training. He's still brilliant.
Yeah. And he bought a bar in Sardinia, in his hometown. And this, his dad was a truck driver. And he basically said, "Dad, get me on the bar." So his dad became the barman there.
Sell the truck though.
That's it. Yeah, get the money for that. We'll end on that Claudio Ranieri quote where he says, "Gianfranco tries everything because he is a wizard, and the wizard must try."
Here
comes Gianfranco Zola to the Hall of Fame. Well, there we are, kids. That's the end of the show this week. If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the website is thefootballramble.com, Jimbo.
It is, and on thefootballramble.com, Jimbo, this year, we have Rupert Fryer's look back at the best of South America in 2011.
That's
Eric
brilliant.
Beard takes us through Rafa Nadal's association with Real Mallorca. Wrong sport, Rafa. And James Appel reminds us of the existence of John Gregory.
That's a fascinating article.
He's
just
been sacked from Kazakh side Kairat.
After being accused of being gay.
It's really weird. Get over to the website.
Really odd.
And he didn't find out about it until later, and then he just came up with these horrible, I'm really annoyed about this whole situation.
Sacked from a Kazakh side, where do you fall from there? So after that, there's also the Retro Ramble, there's live England fantasy football with Pick Live, and of course the forum. So get over there.
Scamp.
Cheers for the update, Jimbo.
There it is. Right, well, happy new year, everybody, and say goodbye, Jimbo.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
See you next time.
Hiya. James McLean. Ji Dong-hoon. Si, senor. Ji Dong-hoon. Ji Dong-hoon.
penalty. Oh, you got the kick to now, Vinny Matreo.
Neil, congratulations to you.
Thanks.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.